If you don't trust that, you're living a life of illusion, superstition, cowardice. You are projecting onto Jesus your own negative feelings about yourself. You're assuming he feels about you the way you feel about you, and thus you're worshiping a God of human manufacturing, a God who does not exist. There is one God of the Christian vision, the God revealed by and in Jesus Christ, who this moment walks directly to your seat, looks you straight in the eye, and says, I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. Right now, I know your shallow faith, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship, your dark motives for ministry hidden even from yourself. Nothing is hidden from my eyes. And my word is this. I dare you to trust that I love you as you are and not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. The awareness of being loved. Let me just retreat a moment. Biblically, to grasp with the head and the heart the love of God that knows no restriction, it is essential to understand that God loves you and me in a creative, intimate, unique, reliable, and tender way. Creative, out of his love we came forth, through his love we sustained in existence. In fact, my next heartbeat is loving gift from the Father's hand. His love is intimate. Do you have a skeleton in your closet from your past life? Something you did so shameful, so selfish, so wrong, that when you think about it, your palms start to perspire, and you say, please, God, don't let anybody ever find out about that. The intimate love of God reaches into that dark place. You know, in the scriptures, reconciliation is not primarily making peace with someone else. First of all, it's making peace in that part of yourself where you can never find peace before, such is the intimate love of God. His love is unique, meaning God loves me not as you think I am or as I think I'm supposed to be, but as I really am. And the real Brennan Manning is a bundle of paradoxes and contradictions. I believe in God with all my heart. But when I see 300 people obliterated in a tsunami in Southeast Asia, when I see the bodies of 3 6-month-old little black girls floating down Lake Pontchartrain because Hurricane Katrina's 145-mile-an-hour winds blew the children out of their mother's arms, when I see a 9-year-old girl raped and murdered by a sex maniac, when I see a 4-year-old boy slaughtered by a drunken driver, I wonder if God exists. I trust him and I get discouraged. I love and I hate. I feel bad about feeling good. I feel guilty if I don't feel guilty. I'm wide open and I'm locked in. I'm trusting and suspicious. I'm honest and I still play games. Aristotle said, I'm a rational animal. I say, I'm an angel with an incredible capacity for beer. That's the real Brennan. And God's unique love reached out to embrace me as I really am, not as I assume I'm supposed to be. His love is reliable, meaning it's never let me down. I'm sure of this. If we have the opportunity to share your life story and mine over these next couple of days, we'll discover a striking similarity in at least one respect. Both of our lives have been a celebration of God's faithfulness in good times and in bad. Ironically, it was April Fool's Day, 1975, and at 6:30 in the morning, I woke up in a doorway on Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I woke up in an alcoholic fog, sniffing vomit all over my sweater, staring down at my bare feet, I didn't know a wine I would sell in my shoes during the night to buy a bottle of Thunderbird. I'd been in the streets for a year and a half, a full 18 months, drunk every day in the late stages of chronic alcoholism, sleeping on the beach till the cops chased me, under the bridge clutching my little precious bottle, a pint of Taka vodka, or in doorways or way out in the fields. I was in the late stages of chronic alcoholism, and it wasn't just that I drank too much. I broke every one of the Ten Commandments six times Tuesday. I mean, countless adulteries, fornication, theft to support my addiction, the idolatry of the bottle instead of the living God, coveting my neighbor's wife, coveting my neighbor's friends, and breaking the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, by character association of people who spoke badly of me. It was a life where the fabric of my moral life completely deteriorated, a life of total moral degradation, a life of utter shame and self-contempt. And that morning when I woke up in the fog, I see a woman coming down the street, maybe 25 years old, blonde hair, attractive lady. She had a four-year-old son in her hand. The boy broke loose from his mother's grip, ran over to the doorway, and stared down at me. His mother came up quickly behind him, cupped her hand over his eyes, and said, "Don't look at that filth. All that is pure filth." She kicked me so hard she broke a rib. The God I've come to know, the Jesus that by sheer grace I've met on the grounds of my own self, loved me as much that morning in the state of disgrace as he does this morning in the state of grace, for his love is never, never, never based on our performance, never conditioned by our moods of elation or depression. It knows no shadow of alteration or change. The love of God in Christ Jesus is reliable. And his love is tender. Tenderness is what happens to you when you discover you're deeply and sincerely liked by somebody. Maybe no woman ever said to one of you guys, "Look, I know you know Brad Pitt, but you've got a heart of kindness and generosity and care and respect for me that makes you worth more than 10 Brad Pitts." Maybe no man has ever said to one of you women, "Look, I know you know Paris Hilton, but your sensitivity to the broken, the warmth of your affection, your easy acceptance of my brokenness, you're worth more than all the movie stars in Hollywood." Tenderness is what happens to you when you know you're deeply and sincerely liked by somebody. If you communicate these 3 days to me that you really like me, not just love me as a brother in Christ, but like me whether I never wrote a book or gave a sermon, but like me for who I am, then you open up to me the possibility of liking myself, accepting myself, loving myself. The look of amiable regard in your eyes banishes my fears and my defense mechanisms like sarcasm, ridicule, name dropping, giving you the appearance I got it all together. All that falls away. If I sense you like me, I'll become more open, sincere, vulnerable, and affectionate with you than I'd ever dream of being if I thought you didn't like me. What happens is I grow tender. My friend Ed Farrell up in Detroit goes on his 2-week summer vacation in Ireland. The reason his favorite uncle is celebrating his 80th birthday. Well, on the morning of the great day, Ed and his uncle get up before dawn. They get dressed in the darkness and silence. They go for a walk around the shores of Lake Killarney. Just as the sun is about to rise, his uncle turns and stares straight at the rising sun. Well, Ed didn't know what to do. So he stands beside his uncle, shoulder to shoulder, 20 full minutes, not a word exchanged. And then his uncle, his 80-year-old uncle, goes skipping down the road, and he's beaming, radiant, smiling ear to ear. Ed Farrell catches up to him and says, "Uncle Seamus, you really look happy."